Good morning, everybody. How are you today? If you're good, give me a thumbs up. Oh, man. Okay. 11:30 service showed up. I love it. I love it. Well, we do have a 5 for 5. We've got some guys that are coming out today. How many of you do not know what a 5 for 5 service is? Okay. Pretty much everybody here. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Do you guys like to have fun? You know it's okay to have fun in church, right? If you don't, you're probably the reason why we don't have fun at church. I'm totally joking. You may have to nudge somebody, though, and go, hey, it's supposed to be fun. We're going to have some fun today. Here's what I mean by that. I've got 5 gifted men right here that are going to speak. It is Father's Day, so we had the men show up and represent, and we are going to have them each speak for 5 minutes. So 5 people speak for 5 minutes. Now, here's what I know. Whenever my previous experience in church is you're going to have all these different people speak. Man, it's going to go long today, and I'm going to get hungry. No. Here's where we're going to have fun. These guys are going to speak for 5 minutes, and do you know how I know? We're going to put a 5-minute timer on the screen behind them so that you know if they've gone long. There's some pressure on these guys, okay? I've told them all week long, hey, listen, you got 5 minutes. I want you to rehearse, all that other kind of stuff. Now, everybody encouraged me to tell Pastor Jared not to go over his 5 minutes because he's already done this twice today, and so I'm putting you on the spot. Okay. But you're going to be able to tell, hey, they've got 5 minutes, but this is cool. We're wrapping it up, that kind of stuff. These guys have really good words. I know that they have heard from the Lord. They've got a great message for you today. But here's what I need you to do. I need some audience participation. These are guys that aren't up here every single week, and so I want you to encourage them. I want you to say, hey, that was a good word. Just like Pastor Stacy was saying, I want you to encourage them. I want you to say amen. And I need you to do this out loud. I know sometimes in our heart we're going, ooh, that was good. I want you to say it. Ooh, that was good. I want you to say it out loud. Remember, we're having some fun. I know these guys would appreciate it. You're encouraging them. That's what we do in the body of Christ. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So have some fun with it. I'm going to introduce these guys real quick so that way whenever they get up here, they don't have to use their 5 minutes introducing themselves. So to my right, to your left, we have Pastor Jared Ring. Next to him, we have Kunle Babalola. We have our new youth pastor, Lucas Santos. Awesome. Right over here, we have Jason Plenicky and Justin Calger. I love these two guys right here. They are involved in our men's ministry, helping to lead our men's ministry, getting some things up off the ground. We've got some good stuff in store. A lot of it thanks to these guys they really pour into. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to encourage these guys. When they get done, I want you to let them know it's the best message you've ever heard, and we're going to champion them. We're going to let them know, hey, you did a great job, okay? So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our own Pastor Jared Ring.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. They were joking with me about the time, and I just said, hey, a clock cannot contain me. So I'm excited to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I was very fortunate to grow up in an amazing home with amazing parents that taught me good values and morals. And they would tell me from the time that I was young, hey, Jared, make good choices, make the right choice. And now, 20, 30 years later, I find myself telling my kids the same thing as we go out of town or we go out of the house for something. Hey, Ada, Esther, make the right choice. Do what's right. And to be honest, those choices at that age in our lives or in their lives are pretty straightforward. They're pretty simple. Usually they mean things like, hey, don't lie, don't cheat, don't punch your sister in the face. Mind your manners, respect your elders. For my 3-year-old in a very odd, weird phase that she recently went through, it was don't go potty in the backyard. Seriously, I don't understand it. Just a couple months ago, we were sitting at the dinner table, and I see Esther get up, just walks right outside, around the side of the house. I thought, surely not, right? And then I go and follow her just in time to go around the side of the house and catch her right in the middle of a squat. Sorry for that image right there. But these are the choices that, although they are pretty, maybe they're right as a young child and growing up, they're not as difficult, right? So what happens when we get older, when those choices become a little bit more challenging? When maybe they're scary, maybe there's some uncertainty tied to them, or they don't make sense. When we know they could lead to pain or difficulty, but here's the deal. When we know that God is in the center of those choices or he is leading us in those choices, then we know that it's always worth the risk. The risk is always worth the reward. My wife and I had a chance to experience this a few years back when we moved our family back from the Northeast to Arkansas to start a nonprofit organization. And there was a lot of scariness tied to this decision. For one, it had no financial certainty to it. We were hoping it would work. There was no guarantee it would be a success. I loved the current job that I was in. It didn't make sense to leave it, but we knew that God was urging us and leading us to make this decision. And so against what most people would say is good advice, we decided this is what we're pursuing. God is leading us in this, and so we did it. We said yes, and there were a lot of challenges with it. I will tell you, there was much pain at times, a lot of stretching, but God carried us through it all, and through that, he granted us the ability to have great influence and great impact on our community, on those around us. And as I said, it's always worth the risk. And ultimately, it actually led us here on staff at Key Point Church, which is amazing. And Scripture is full. Well, thank you. Thank you. You can clap, I guess. I'll take it. Scripture is full of stories and of people that defied what society said was normal and made decisions that impacted the community and their world. You can go through the Bible. You can find them. I don't have to list them all out. But here's the deal. The kingdom of heaven is countercultural. It's an upside-down kingdom to our worldly culture. If you think about it, the way that we are as Christians to operate is, it doesn't make sense a lot of times. And Jesus taught this. He said, the first shall be last. Love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Turn the other cheek. These are things that we typically probably don't feel like responding in those ways in our flesh, right? If someone says, oh, just bless those who curse you. I'm like, no, I'd like to actually curse those who curse me. That actually feels more normal. Or turn the other cheek, Jared. Well, let's be honest, most of us probably would rather punch the other cheek of the person who offends us. And that's what the world would actually assume is, yeah, that's a normal feeling, right? But that's not how we are to operate. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. We are not simply citizens of this world. And that may sound weird. Is he talking about aliens? No. We are citizens of something so much more powerful. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You and I, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a child and a daughter of God, and we are called to a higher standard. You see, I had placed my identity for a time in what I did and not who God said I was. My identity was in the wrong place. And I learned that even something really good and really impactful with a lot of influence can still lead to a false sense of identity. And I believe that there are some of us even here today that maybe you've adopted what the world has said about you as your own identity. Maybe you're a phenomenal business owner or an amazing whatever, doctor, physician, accountant, mechanic, it doesn't matter. Those things, while they are given to us by God to steward and to use to impact those around us, they don't determine who we are. Our identity, again, is in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Thank you. And again, I'm going to go over, so I'm just going to go ahead and apologize and ask you just to ignore that clock behind me. And I'm going to ignore it as well for the next minute. All right. Thank you. Thank God that our human laws don't solely dictate what is just and what is right and what decisions that we should make. Because if you think about it over history, we've seriously made some mistakes. Let me give you some examples here. The Holocaust, that was completely legal. And those who hid the Jews were criminals. Slavery, legal. People who freed slaves were considered criminals. Segregation was legally sanctioned. Those who stood up for equality and justice were criminals. Our government and our laws are not a guide to human decency and morality. Thank goodness. Our morals, our principles, our choices are grounded in our faith, and that calls us to live to a higher standard. So here's a question I want to ask. What choice is God asking you to make today or urging you to make that might be, yes, a little painful, a little difficult? Maybe there's some uncertainty tied to it. Maybe it's scary. I don't know what it looks like. But you know that God is leading you in. And if you look through and past all that stuff, you can see an opportunity for great impact, for great influence on those around you, and more importantly, for the kingdom of heaven. Fathers, what choice is God asking you to make? What decisions, what changes is he asking you to make that will allow you to be more of the father, the man of God that you are designed to be? And this is the last question I want to ask you, and this is a big question. What choice or decision is God asking you to make that is destined to fail without the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit? If you think about that, if you follow that path, yeah, it might be uncomfortable at times, it might be difficult, there might be some pain associated with it, and it might not even be successful in the world's eyes, but God is not asking us to be successful, he's asking us to be obedient. And so, I challenge you to be obedient, that whatever that urging is that you're feeling in your life, if there's a decision you've been teetering on for some time, or maybe just recently, I want to challenge you to lean into God because he will always sustain you through it, and you might be surprised at the journey, the adventure that he takes you on and the impact that he gives you. All right? Thank you guys very much.
For those who haven't been at the first two services, I am the sandwich speaker that speaks between Jared and Kunle because I actually adhere to my time. So, hey, just kidding. Happy Father's Day to the men out there. We know the 11:30 service is the one thing between now and lunch, so we could all be at Academy Sports or Bass Pro Shop, you know, getting a new grill. Wives, holla. Anyway, hey, I want to be serious for a moment. When I was asked to do this, I was very thankful. And I asked my wife, I said, well, what should I speak on? She said, well, I don't know, but you better have a dad joke in there because it's Father's Day. So here it goes. We've been going through the Jonah series lately. So why couldn't Jonah trust the ocean? Because he thought it was fishy. Come on, that's good. All right, time to get real. Guys, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I couldn't tell you how much my decisions impact what she does. She imitates everything I do. The impact that us men have in our family, spiritual, is unexplainable. Our family, our peers, they watch everything we do. And impact is one of the greatest assets that you and I have. I challenge men today to step up and wear their spiritual shoes. We have a great She Sisterhood here. And I know there's men within this church right now that want to be plugged in, and we would love to have you. This means leading your family and those around you. If you think of Deuteronomy, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Sharpen means to make it better and more efficient. See, community is a foundational part of God's design, not only for us at Key Point, but the total church. Our circle of influence as men is far great. There's many people outside of this church that we have the ability to reach that our pastoral staff would only dream of reaching. Be a light. When you talk about Matthew 28:19, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. The word doesn't just say make disciples, it says go. Be outward, be different. And I promise you, here's my other dad joke. It's better than any other sales process in life because you can have more than a pink Cadillac when you cross this life and into the next. That's my Mary Kay reference. I had to throw it in there. All seriousness, every person in this place is a minister, and every workplace is a ministry. We can bear one another's burdens and obey the law of Christ every day. And I have an acronym this morning that I wanted to share with you. It's AIM. Accountability, intentionality, and move. If us men would be more accountable for each other through any season of life while doing it intentionally and being a rope holder and moving together, nothing can stop us. I want to put it in a different perspective. If you think of a GPS in our phone, if you put an address in or a location, it routes you where you need to go. And in the same way that the GPS directs us, I know God's going to take us from our current situation to the final destination. Which, when I think in terms of being at the gates of heaven and Jesus speaking on my behalf, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to look to my left and know that a brother in Christ, a father, or a grandfather, or anybody, any friend, I want to know that I had the impact in their life. So when they're there, God can say, you impacted them. And I want to be a part of that. The good news for you and me today is we can disciple those around us, and it's completely free. Completely free. I believe in the last 6 months of this year, God wants to do phenomenal things in the men's ministry. So my question to you today, men, is if you don't currently receive the Key Point emails each week, sign up on the website, because there's going to be some very exciting things to come in the next few months. Pray for your wife today. Love her. And disciple those around you. Thank you.
Happy Sunday to you. Great seeing you all. And happy Father's Day to the fathers in the house. And I will not be telling any fishy jokes. That was Justin's job. But I will be talking about choices. Choices, an interesting word because it could mean so many different things to so many different people. Decisions, options, preferences, selection. Are words that literally come to mind when talking about choices. And I'd like to share some of my perspectives on the word. Value. Growing up as an accountant's son, I quickly learned to associate the word choice with opportunity costs. Any accountants in the house? Whoop, whoop. Now, this term simply means giving up a value for another value which provides greater benefits. Being the oldest child, my father always reminded me that I shouldn't always make choices that served just me and my purposes alone. He impressed it upon me early that someone is always watching, so be a good example. In Titus 2, verse 7 and 8, the Word of God encourages us that in all things to show ourselves an example of good deeds. As a child, if I wasn't a good example, I got time out and a whooping. It wasn't fun. Focus. What you feed will grow. Think of the things we constantly give our attention, energy, and time to. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "You should imitate me as I imitate Christ." Y'all, I'm still working on this. Please pray for me. A quote and biblical story serve as reminders to me why I choose to live the way that I do. Charles F. Kittering's quote reads, "Every father should remember that one day his son, daughter, child, children will follow his example instead of his advice." The biblical story is about Esau and Jacob, found in Genesis 25 through 33. And these chapters, and I'm not going to read everything, but these chapters do share the story of Jacob and his cunningness, how he deceived his brother to trade his birthright for a bowl of porridge, deceived his father and stole Esau's blessings, which made Esau very angry. And Jacob had to leave home to live with his uncle Laban. And these two had and awkward transactions between them regarding sheep, service times, and even Jacob's marriages. In chapter 31, we read how God instructed Jacob to go back home. The route home involved passing through the lands owned by his brother Esau. And remember, Jacob had done some pretty disrespectful and hurtful things to his brother Esau while they were younger that affected them many years later. Now they were to meet again. Only this time, Esau seemed to have the advantage, and Jacob was afraid. At the time of Jacob's return home, Joseph had been born. Now remember, Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, and he had spent lots of time with his father. I believe in those times, Jacob shared his stories of growing up with Joseph. And why is this important, you ask? Don't rush me. I will get there. Now, in Genesis 33, we read how Esau came out to his brother with 400 men. Jacob was in trouble. So, in fear, Jacob devised various strategies for this meeting. He split his family up in multiple groups. He told each group what to say, and he was humbled. But then, something was different about this particular meeting. Surprisingly, Esau ran to Jacob and embraced him and loved on him. One other time that I believe that I saw this example was with the prodigal son. Esau accepted him. Everything was tied into that moment. Nothing from the past was brought up. Love in action. And lives were changed. And you ask, what does this story teach me? But God, but God. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of God, and he delights in his ways. And children are always watching. Would you know that many years later, Joseph found himself in a similar position after being mistreated by his brothers, 11, 12 brothers. He had the advantage of position and power to exact revenge. But in that exact moment, he remembered his uncle Esau. He remembered how his uncle's actions of forgiveness, grace, and love impacted his family. And he made a different choice. He followed his uncle's examples. And so I ask myself this question. If the choice I make today could positively impact a person, would I make that choice? Parents, do you remember a time when your child or children wore your stuff and imitated your actions? And are these actions, are these times proud moments for you? Or do you need to make changes? Our roles as parents, leaders, teachers, and uncles in our homes and communities are important. And our impact in the lives of our families and the wellness of our communities is huge. Our communities need more good examples. And so I encourage us to choose right, choose love, choose God, and make a difference. Thank you.
Good morning, Key Point 1130. You're my favorite service. As Keith said, I'm a part of the men's ministry here at Key Point with Justin. I'm also part of a discipleship ministry called The Journey. And through The Journey, we learn how to develop an intimate, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ as described in John 15. And in that, the destination is to get to a place of personal abandonment and absolute trust. So on the topic of choices, I had to realize I need to relinquish some control and involve God in my choices. And I wanted a great way to share that example with my kids. And a good friend of mine gave me just that answer, and I want to share it with you today. So I have two boys, Josh and Daniel, should say young men now. But in any case, they encounter struggles and challenges, and they come to me for advice. And as a dad, up until then, I would just disperse that advice because it's doubtful that they haven't gone through an experience that, or going through an experience that I haven't gone through myself. And so what I do instead is I pause in the moment and I challenge them with a question of, what is God trying to teach us in this situation or tell us in this situation? And the beautiful thing about that is by pausing in that moment and prayerfully inviting God into that situation, we create a co-laboring relationship that our Father really desires. In James 1:5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he'll provide. So through this connection with our Father, we allow the impossible to become reality. Now, this might bring us back to the suggestion that I was going to give them, the experiences I've had in my life. But in doing that, we invite God's will. And what I've seen, though, I've seen God step in and reduce that obstacle, remove it completely. And so I wanted to share with you an example from the Bible where a tough choice had to be made. I think we've all probably heard it's in Mark 10:17, where a wealthy man approached Jesus and said, what does it take to have eternal life? And Jesus said, are you following all the commandments? And he said, absolutely. But Jesus looked into his heart and he said, sell everything, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Well, he walked away struggling with that. And then Jesus followed up in front of his disciples and said, and we think we've heard this as well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a wealthy person to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that leveled the disciples. And they asked Jesus, you know, what can we do to have eternal life? And the beautiful part of this scripture is actually that last piece in Mark 10:27. Jesus encouraged them by saying, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. So through God, all things are possible, but it's up to us as whether we're going to involve him in that decision-making process and a choice. And I want to give another point of that, too. By giving my boys that example, that model to follow, I'm not always going to be there. I wish I could be, but our Heavenly Father always is. And he's there waiting to give us insight, perspectives, and to move the obstacles we otherwise could not do. And I want to give you one more nugget. Another friend of mine gave me this suggestion, and this is for the husbands out there, and it's a choice I made, is when you start your day, before you leave the house, take a moment to pray over your wife. It could be in the room before she's awake. It could be you're both working, meet in the hallway, in which case you can introduce the prayer hug, which is a very positive thing in our house. In that, give her some words of encouragement. Like, go where the Holy Spirit leads you to go. You know, pray over for protection, prosperity, whatever it may be that she may be up against. But the beautiful thing in all that, again, like the previous example, we're inviting God into the struggles. And you're locking shields together and going out in the world together as one. Thank you, Key Point.
Good afternoon, Key Point. How are we doing? Come on, I need some more energy. Woo! It's awesome. Well, I'm the youngest speaker in the panel, and I am not a dad, if you're asking. And someone else that is very dear to my heart asked me this question. And when I got the text message, they're like, hey, would you speak at our Father's Day panel? And I told my wife, and she was like, but babe, you're not a dad. And I was like, well, I know. But I am a son, and I want to speak from a perspective of a son. Not only a son with an earthly father, but a son with a heavenly father. It's very beautiful to see how hand in hand those two go. And my dad taught me many things. He's a dad. Dads, fathers teach their sons things. And in which of those, I remember some of them, and most of them, I completely forgot. He could pull it up and say, remember when I taught you this? And I'll be like, nope, I do not. And one of those lessons that he taught me, he called me aside. You know, dads, how you guys are. You know, he's like, come here. And, you know, as son, we go. And he's like, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something that will change your life. And he looks at me and he says, you know what? We live in a fallen world. How many agree here? And bad things happen to good people. It's evident. It's all around us. And he said, but son, you cannot control what happens to you, but you can choose how you react to it. And that changed my life. It changes my life and the things I do today, how I handle situations with my wife, how I handle situations like moving to Northwest Arkansas. Come on, Jesus. Woo! But at the age 16, something very traumatic happened to me. My parents were out there, missionaries in Africa for 28 years now. And they went out on the mission field. My sister, my legal guardian, decided that, hey, I'm going to have a party and, you know, peace out. I'm going to go hang out with my girls. You all alone. I did what any other 16-year-old would do. Locked up everything, you know, put on a TV show, just chilling, relaxing. Went to bed at around 3 o'clock in the morning. I see a car pull up to our driveway. And how many people are from Johannesburg, South Africa here? Any South Africans? Woo! Let's go. Yes, there's two. Yes, in the other services, there was no one. And if you know, South Africa is a very violent country. Johannesburg is a very violent city. And so we have 6-foot-high fences with electric fencing around just to make sure we extra safe, okay? Car comes, pulls up, smashes into my gate, and I see 8 guys hop out. I know what's going on. It's a robbery. I do what a 16-year-old would do, run to the kitchen, and I grab 2 knives, and I'm like, hey, it's on. whoever these guys are trying to step up in my house, it's on. As soon as I turn around to leave the kitchen, I have a gun pointed to my face. I get smacked with the gun put on the floor, and they tell me, if you move, we will shoot you. For the next 45 minutes, I watch them take everything from my house, I think including soap, because they just cleaned that whole place up. The next 3 weeks that followed were very, very hard on me. Fear had settled in, and it was crippling. I couldn't go to bed at night. I would lay, close my eyes. The slightest noise, I would wake up and like, I was in fear. I was panicking. I was afraid. Maybe for some of you, you know, something as traumatic didn't happen, but there is an area of your life or an event that happened that was outside of your control that is still crippling you till this day. And I remembered at that time, 3 weeks had gone by. I couldn't sleep. Everyone was like, hey, you need to see a psychiatrist. You need to get yourself checked. This will scar you for the rest of your life. And I remember what my dad said. He was like, hey, you can't control what happens to you, but you can choose how you react to it. And with that, I just remembered the word of God in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I couldn't trust in me. I was fearful. And then I looked fear straight in the eyes, and I said, you know what? I am afraid, and that is me trusting in me. But I choose to trust in the Lord. I didn't know what peace looked like. And for a 16-year-old, that is very traumatizing. I didn't know what peace looked like for 3 weeks of my life. And I said, you know what, God? Your word says that if I trust in you and I lean not in my understanding, you will make my path straight. You will make everything all right. So I don't know what peace looks like in this situation, but you do. So in the name of Jesus, I will close my eyes and I will fall back to sleep. And in 3 weeks, I was able to sleep for an entire night. It felt so good, y'all. It felt so good. And I want to encourage you this morning, this afternoon. I don't know whether it's a financial decision. Something didn't go your way. Guess what? Life happens. Life happens. And when it does, I want to encourage you to choose to trust God in your reaction to it. And that is the greatest lesson my father ever taught me. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can choose how you react when it does happen. Thank you so much.
Come on, let's give it up for these men. Appreciate you guys. Did an awesome job. They've been here for all three services, done an amazing job, all three services. I just want to say how proud I am of them, the message that God's placed in their heart. At this time, I want to ask you to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, and I do so not to create an awkward or a strange, weird moment, but I'm asking you that because I want you to have a moment between you and God right now. And sometimes we do have to close out the other people around us or what may be going on. And just ask the Lord, Lord, what is it you want to speak to me through today's service? Through the messages that I've heard? God, what are you saying to me? And here's what I know. As they've been talking about choices, they all talk today on the topic of choices. And even as Pastor Lucas was talking about trust and trusting God, it's quite possible that you're here today and you're thinking, you know, my choices have led me to where I am today. And it's very possible that I haven't trusted God with my life. I believe that there's somebody here today and you haven't fully surrendered your life to God. You haven't trusted him to the point where you say, God, I'm giving my life to you. I trust you to lead me, to guide me, to be my God and to be my Savior. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I want everybody in this room to repeat after me whenever we lead this prayer. But if that's you, if you're at that point today where you're saying, I need to make a choice and I need to give my life to God and I need to trust him, I want you to mean this on the inside. So everybody in this place, I want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, come on, dear Jesus, today I make a choice and I give my life to you. I repent of my sin. I ask you to come in and to be my God and my Savior. I choose to trust you with my life. And I thank you that you have given your life for me. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to keep your heads bowed because I want to ask you something, and I don't want anybody to feel too embarrassed to respond in this moment. I'm not going to ask you to stand up in front of anybody. I'm not going to ask you to come up front right now. What I'm going to ask you to do is that if you made that prayer a prayer of your heart, as we said it, and today something changed on the inside of you, maybe it was the first time you prayed that prayer, maybe the first time in a long time, but if that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand real quick and look at me. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Today's the day that you made that choice. Anybody else in this room? I want to give you the opportunity. Awesome. That's quite possible, as we've talked about choices today. It's quite possible that you've had a self-examination of your own life and said, you know, there are some choices that I have made that I'm not proud of. There are some changes that I need to make in my life about choices that I'm making, whether they're at home, whether with my family, whether at work, wherever I am, so that people know who God is in my life because of the choices that I've made. And today I'm going to commit that the choices I make from here on out are going to be better. And I'm going to make that commitment to God. If that's you, just so I know who I'm praying with, I just want you to slip up your hand real quick. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being vulnerable today. Father, right now, I pray for all those that have made the decision to follow you today, that have given their lives to you. We know that there is a celebration in heaven, that there is a party going on because of the decisions that have been made. And Father, even those that have committed today, that they will make better choices and give their life wholeheartedly to you, and that people will know who you are by the choices that we make, by the leadership that we show. Father, I pray that you give them strength. I pray that you give them courage. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.